Chapter 24. Taken at face value, the situation shouldn't have been nearly so threatening. Cloud had 3 summoners and 2 guardians on his side, and if Rufus had brought his guardians, he'd apparently left them outside. By sheer numbers, they ought to be able to take him down easily. But Rufus was fresh and his Aeon was unhurt. He had the only Aeon currently summoned, and it was the most powerful of the 5. Aerith's had been destroyed by the last power wave from Genesis as well, and while she could probably summon again, she likely couldn't do it before Rufus commanded his Zelros to attack again. Sephiroth was down. Unconscious or just badly injured, it didn't really matter. He wasn't going to be summoning anytime soon. As for Cloud himself, with Evned gone, he now only had Ekia left to call on, until he got a chance to heal them all with a travel sphere. Ekia wouldn't have much of a chance against Zelros, assuming Cloud actually managed to find the energy to summon him. Tifa and Zack certainly wouldn't accomplish much, trying to fight an Aeon with physical weapons. In short, while they might not be outnumbered, they were severely outgunned. Swallowing hard, Cloud forced himself to step forward. "Why help us at all if you're gonna take us down now?" he asked, grateful when his voice shook only a little. It was weariness that caused the tremor, though with his luck, Rufus would assume it was fear. "I know a fiend when I see one," Rufus replied, scornful. "That creature may once have been Sir Genesis, but it wasn't human anymore."
"He wasn't a fiend,"
Sephiroth's deep voice broke in. Surprised, Cloud looked back over his shoulder and saw that Zack had helped the older man to his feet.
"He was an Aeon."
"He was what?" Rufus seemed genuinely shocked, turning his head to stare at the spot where Genesis had been.
"An Aeon," Sephiroth repeated.
He looked weary, the kind of soul-deep weariness that went far beyond mere physical exhaustion.
"My Aeon, to be precise. My final summoning."
He shook his head, his eyes haunted.
"When I realized what sort of dark power he held, when I felt his rage at the world through our newly formed bond, I knew I couldn't turn him loose on Spira. When he became Sin, he would have caused more destruction than any other Sin in history. I'm certain of it."
"When he became Sin?" Rufus repeated, eyes narrowing. "What nonsense is this?" "Every summoner's final summoning comes from a bond formed by sacrificing one of their guardians," Aerith told him sadly. "The Aeon created defeats Sin and goes on to become Sin in its place. Lady Unalesca herself told us the truth. Sin is eternal. We ensure its rebirth ourselves each time we destroy it. A never-ending cycle." Cloud was pretty sure if he'd been the one to try to explain, or even Sephiroth, Rufus would have called them liars and attacked. Apparently, Aerith seemed a little more credible, even if she had thrown in her lot with Cloud, because Rufus just shook his head and looked stunned.
"That's not possible," Rufus insisted.
"Neither is Sin itself, frankly. Yet we accept its existence without question,"
Sephiroth replied dryly. He turned towards Cloud and bowed his head.
"Now you know the truth of my journey's end. In a way, I suppose I am indeed the failed summoner so many named me. I can never be the High Summoner, because I dare not loose Genesis on the world."
He lifted his head again and met Cloud's eyes. Cloud had never seen him look so determined, nor intense.
"Lord Cloud, it would be my honor if you would accept me as the Aeon for your final summoning. You've restored my faith in people, given me back the ability to believe that some are still worth saving. Let me fulfill my own destiny at last, even as I fulfill yours."
"What?" Now it was Cloud's turn to be stunned. "No! Damn it! I'm not sacrificing anybody! Seeing what Genesis became just reinforces what I already believed. That this whole thing is the stupidest idea the followers of Yevon have ever come up with. I'm not continuing the cycle."
"Indeed, you're not," Rufus said, contempt clear in his voice. You've caused more than enough damage to Spira already. If you believe I'm going to allow you to walk out of here...
Oh, enough already!
Cloud lost his temper and did something that was quite possibly the most reckless thing he'd ever done. He stepped forward, lifting his head to meet the eyes of Rufus's Aeon, Zalaras. The great dragon snorted and tilted its head as well, glaring down at him with merciless eyes.
If you want me to do this, then you're going to have to back me up here,
Cloud informed him, speaking to the Faith through the Aeon. At least, he hoped he was. He had absolutely no idea if this was going to work, but he didn't know what else to try. Zalaras opened his jaw, and Cloud felt his stomach sink. Had he made a mistake? Was the Aeon about to blast him where he stood? Or maybe just eat him? That mouth was definitely big enough to snap him up whole and swallow him without chewing. He squared his shoulders and refused to allow himself to appear intimidated. Somewhere, deep inside, he thought he heard Peterson chuckle quietly. With another snort and a screech loud enough to make Cloud's ears ring, Zalaras snapped his teeth together, so close to Cloud's head that he thought he might have lost a few hairs. Then suddenly, Cloud was surrounded by a swarm of rapidly dissipating pyreflies, and the Aeon was gone.
"What in Yevon's name did you do?"
Rufus demanded, clearly incensed. "Zalaras!" Nothing happened when he called his Aeon's name. And Rufus scowled.
"Shemazai! Belias!"
Still nothing. Cloud laughed, though he hadn't intended to, and he stopped quickly when he realized he was starting to sound hysterical.
"I keep telling you all, they want me to do this," he said,
to his friends as much as to Rufus. "Cloud, they want you to be High Summoner. That much is obvious," Zack scolded him. "That means you have to do it. Didn't Bavel's faith make you promise to do what was necessary? Don't you think this is exactly what he meant?"
"Yes, I do, but not in the way you mean it," Cloud replied.
The Faith had said that Cloud would know what the decision was when he'd reached it, and he couldn't imagine what it would be if not this. "Why would they need me to promise to do exactly what everyone else has always done? Why would they need me at all? They want me to end this, not become yet another cog in a mechanism that grinds on forever."
"And how exactly do you propose to end sin if not with the final summoning?"
Rufus asked him archly. "Well, that was the problem, wasn't it?"
"There has to be a way, or the Faith wouldn't have asked me to do it," he insisted. "The final summoning is the most powerful, obviously, but what about summoning all the other Aeons together? Has anyone tried teaming up with other summoners? We've got 4 of us here, and 6 guardians, if you count Rufus's 4.
"It was attempted early on," Sephiroth said slowly, "though never with more than 2 that I know of."
"You're all insane!"
Rufus exclaimed, throwing up his hands.
"The final Aeon is far more powerful than even all 5 of the others combined. You're just going to get yourself killed."
"What do you care?" Cloud challenged him. "Isn't that exactly what you and the rest of Yevon's followers want? For me to get myself killed? Afterwards, you can all point and say that I was unable to corrupt the final Aeon, so I was stupid enough to try to fight sin anyway and got what I deserved all along. It's even the truth if you look at it the right way."
"Or I could simply do what I came here to do, obtain my own final summoning, defeat Sin, and have my guardians drag you back to Bavel in chains,"
Rufus said. "Are you that eager to throw away the life of one of your guardians?" Aerith broke in. Her voice was gentle, but her expression was hard. "Do they mean so little to you? If so, you may not get the final summoning at all, if your bond is weak. At least give us a chance to try. One day, that's all we ask."
"We?"
Cloud was surprised by the way she included herself. He hadn't been certain she would agree to join him. She smiled at him.
"I can guarantee my death and Tifa's by doing it the traditional way, and be certain that Sin will return in 10 years. Or I can help you, increase your chances of succeeding drastically, and have the possibility not only of surviving, but of defeating Sin forever.
I know which option I prefer.
Madness, Rufus said again, but Cloud thought he looked at least a little perturbed by Aerith's words. Or perhaps it was the thought of having to sacrifice the life of one of his guardians.
One day, Cloud said, trying not to sound like he was begging. Give us one day to try it my way. Whether we succeed or fail, it will be over quickly.
When it seemed like Rufus was hesitating, Cloud took a stab in the dark.
Will your Aeons even let you try for the final summoning right now? You've already seen for yourself that they're backing me.
Rufus growled at him, clearly unhappy, but he was backed into a corner, and he knew it.
24 hours, he snapped. Not 1 minute more. And the moment you go down, I'll be back here for my Aeon, whether the time is up or not.
That's fair, Cloud acknowledged. If we fail, then I wouldn't want you to wait a moment longer than necessary to destroy Sin. With an angry gesture like he was trying to sever any connection between himself and Cloud's insanity, Rufus turned and stalked back out of the dome. Without Zelaras blocking the entire doorway, Cloud saw that a new structure had somehow appeared, taking up almost all the space in the courtyard beyond the doors.
What is that? Tifa murmured, trying to get a better view as Rufus made his way up a short ramp and opened a door to the building.
That is an airship, Sephiroth said, and he sounded angry. He lifted his voice enough for Rufus to be able to hear him.
That technology belongs to the Albed. Did you steal it when you raided home?
That thing flies? Zack asked, incensed.
Hey, that's cheating! You can't just fly over Gagazet! You're supposed to cross over it the hard way!
Must all summoners also swim from Bessay to Kilika to the mainland? Rufus asked with a snort.
Should the use of Chocobo be forbidden as well? The Council of Yevon decreed it was more important for someone to get here to obtain the final Aeon before you could corrupt its faith as well.
He gave Cloud an arch look.
If you make me regret defying them and giving you this chance, be certain you will regret it far more.
He stepped inside and slammed the door behind him. And a moment later, the building lifted off the ground with a great whooshing sound from above. Walking outside the dome, Cloud tipped his head back and shaded his eyes and saw that the so-called airship was at least as large as the Blitzdome in Luca, perhaps even larger.
Is that a machina? He asked.
It's an artifact machina, salvaged by the Albed and restored to usefulness.
Sephiroth answered him, and he sounded bitter.
As I recall, it was renounced quite vigorously as forbidden machina by the priests when it was in the hands of the Albed. Strange how it suddenly becomes acceptable when it is Yevon's followers who benefit from its use.
While I agree that the attitudes of the priesthood towards the Albed and machina are questionable at best, don't we have a larger problem to worry about at the moment?
Aerith cut in. How are we going to defeat Sin? Do you really think 3 Aeons will be enough to do it?
How are we even going to find it? Everyone knows it's attracted to the final summoning, but without that, it could be anywhere in Spira.
Hey, guys, maybe we're coming at this from the wrong angle, Zack said thoughtfully. When I'm facing a killer goalie and a knot of protective defensemen, I don't try to bull my way through and score a direct hit on goal. I send flanking players out, maybe use a sleep or stun shot to thin out the defense.
Cloud stared at him blankly, and he was pretty sure he wasn't the only one.
What does blitzball strategy have to do with defeating Sin? I don't think flanking is going to help much, considering it's larger than some islands.
No, I'm just saying we need to think outside the box, not go straight to the goal, Zack said. There's got to be some way to weaken it.
Something was nagging at Cloud. He felt there was an obvious answer, staring him in the face, and he was unable to see it because he was looking at it from too close. What was he missing? Well, what was different about him compared to all the other summoners that had come before him? Why hadn't the Faith asked anyone else to end the cycle? It couldn't just be because he was half Albed, could it? What difference did that make, aside from the political implications?
Was it just because they knew he'd be stubborn enough to refuse to sacrifice the life of someone other than himself? But most summoners were selfless. Given a chance to know that there had to be another option, surely most of them would want to do the right thing. What did he know that they didn't? "The Faith," he said abruptly, jerking his head around to stare at the peak of Gagazet, high above them. "The Faith on the mountain. We know their power is being drawn from them. Huge amounts of it. When they saved me as a kid, they showed me what it was for, to create a dream of Xanarkand as it was. But summoning creates something physical. Where is the memory of Xanarkand? What is sin, and where does it come from each time?"
"I have long suspected that sin is either the summoning drawing on the power of those faith, or the Aeon summoned by them," Sephiroth agreed. "I didn't know about the memory of Xanarkand, but sin is certainly big enough to contain a city within it."
"We need to talk to the Faith," Cloud said, certain he was on the right path now. "We need to go back up Gagazet."
"Oh, great," Zack groaned theatrically, "because being nearly frozen to death once wasn't fun enough. Couldn't we go talk to one of the Faith in the temples, if you need to talk to one?"
"I don't think they're going to let us back into Bavel, Zack, and nowhere else is close enough for us to get to in less than a day," Cloud pointed out, rolling his eyes. "Anyway, the trip down this side of the mountain wasn't so bad. The caves weren't that cold."
"What about just asking Lady Unaleska?" Tifa suggested. "If anyone would know exactly what's going on, surely she would." "That would not be wise," Sephiroth said, shaking his head. "If my past experiences with her are anything to judge by, she tends to react poorly when things don't go as she expects them to. She wants summoners to follow the path set for them, to continue the cycle. When I refuse to finish the final summoning, to complete the transformation for Genesis, by giving my own life to fuel it, she grew rather irate. Anjael was barely able to get both of us out of Xanarkand alive."
"So, telling her we intend to destroy the cycle completely probably wouldn't go over very well," Zack said. "The Faith on Gagazet are the ones who started this by saving me all those years ago," Cloud insisted. "They're the ones who want this to end, so they're the ones who have the most to lose if I fail."
"But if they knew another way to stop the cycle, why wouldn't they have told you about it?" Tifa wondered. "Or told any other summoner, for that matter."
"I'm not sure they work like that," Cloud admitted. "They're not human anymore, and they don't think like we do. They tend to be cryptic, or only give you answers if you know the right questions to ask."
"I think it's our best chance," Aerith agreed. "We need more information, and it sounds like the Faith are the only place we're going to get it."
"Well, if we're gonna go, we should get moving," Zack said. "We're swimming against the clock here. No chance to score any goals in overtime, so we need to play hard while we can."
Standing in front of the eerily glowing Faith carvings once more, Cloud studied them as if the answer to his problem would be spelled out in the shapes of their twisted bodies. Nothing was immediately evident, and he wasn't quite sure how to go about asking.
"How did you talk to them when you were little?" Tifa asked him curiously.
"Honestly, I have no idea," Cloud admitted. "I remember I made it high enough to reach the place where the trail joins the main road up the mountain. There was a grave marker close by, for a fallen summoner. I figured if I read the name, that would be proof I'd made it that far, and then I could go back down. Only, I fell before I got to the marker. I have a hazy memory of a transparent boy offering me a hand up out of the snow, and when I took it, I passed out. The next thing I knew, I was standing in Xanarkand, the dream Xanarkand, and the Faith were with me. When I woke up for real, I was here, and the whole mountain had warmed enough for me to survive the trip down."
"I remember hearing about that," Aerith exclaimed. "The Ronso reported it to the priests, and all of Bavel was abuzz with rumors. Gagazet is always frozen, even in the deepest parts of summer. But there was half a day where even the snow at the peak started melting. It froze again almost immediately, but nobody knew what it meant."
"Well, we could try knocking you out, I suppose," Zack joked, tapping his fist gently against Cloud's temple.
I know a few blitz techniques that'll put you out cold. Let's try the non-headache-inducing route first, please. Cloud replied dryly. The power is in the faith carvings themselves, right? So maybe... Cautiously, he reached out to touch the nearest carving. The ghostly blue energy rose to meet his hand and engulf it, and he felt power race up from his fingers to spread through his whole body. The world spun and went black, and for a dizzying moment, he had the sensation that he was hanging in the middle of a void, surrounded by nothing at all. Then suddenly, he was standing outside the same blitz dome they'd just left in Xanarkand. Only this one was whole, and he could hear the noise of a huge crowd cheering inside, followed by the harsh sound of a buzzer. There was a game on, apparently. Half wishing he had time to watch them play, Cloud turned and scanned the plaza outside the dome. There were people everywhere, chatting with each other and strolling along, but one stood out, a child-sized figure dressed in enveloping robes, with a hood pulled down so far Cloud couldn't see his face properly. "Hello," Cloud said, and moved to meet Bavel's Faith. "I thought it might be you."
"We meet again," Bahamut said with a secretive little smile. "And once more, you've kept your promise."
"My friends think you were trying to get me to promise to become High Summoner, you know," Cloud told him a little sourly.
"To do what's necessary? You could have been a little clearer." "It had to be your choice," Bahamut told him. "We can influence, but not coerce. It's all we can do to find the power to even do this much. We weren't created to interfere."
"You were created to provide the power to create this Xanarkand," Cloud said, just to be sure he understood. The Faith nodded. "Is this part of Sin?"
"Sin is the guardian," Bahamut told him. "After the dream Xanarkand was created, Yu Yevon wished to protect it. He gathered the Pyreflies and summoned Sin, but its power was too great for him to control. It destroyed his mind and left Sin with only his corrupted instincts to guide it."
"Then why does each new final Aeon become Sin in turn?" Cloud asked. Bahamut shrugged and spread his hands.
"Yu Yevon's spirit remains and infects each new Aeon. Eventually, his power corrupts it, and it loses sight of its purpose and turns against Spira once more."
"That's why the Calm exists," Cloud realized. "It's a period where the most recent Aeon isn't corrupted enough to start destroying things yet. So, does Sin exist all the time? It's just focused on protecting Xanarkand when it hasn't gone crazy yet?"
"Essentially."
Something about what he'd said seemed to amuse the Faith, but Cloud wasn't sure exactly what it was. At least Bahamut wasn't taking offense. Somehow, Cloud thought getting the Faith angry with him was a very bad idea. "So how do I stop it?" Cloud asked. Frustratingly, the Faith remained silent. "No, of course it can't be that easy," Cloud sighed.
"We're so tired of dreaming," Bahamut told him, and he sounded wistful.
It was the same thing he'd said to Cloud as a child, when he'd asked Cloud to promise to become a summoner and return to them.
"We'd like to rest now."
If Sin exists to defend the dream Xanarkand, Cloud tried to put the pieces together, what happens if the dream Xanarkand doesn't exist anymore? If you stop dreaming?
"Yu Yevon intended Sin to have a dual purpose," Bahamut said, "guarding Xanarkand that was, and making certain no cities grew too large and too dependent on technology. He wanted to ensure that the war that destroyed Xanarkand would never repeat. And when he lost control, it only knew it was supposed to be attacking cities. So that's what it does," Cloud concluded with a sigh. "A 1,000 years of death and destruction, all over a being that had been intended to protect the world." "So if the dream Xanarkand disappears, Sin would only have one purpose left and go on an endless rampage?"
"Who can say for certain?" Bahamut shrugged again. "Without anyone to consciously control it, Sin will do as it pleases." "Would destroying the Faith statues on Gagazet free the ones who are trapped into summoning the memory of Xanarkand?" Cloud asked, and this time Bahamut nodded.
What about the ones like you, in the temples? Even if we destroy Sin, I think the temples would object to us marching in to destroy their faith.
Without the power of the greater summoning to anchor us, we would be free as well, Bahamut assured him.
Then that would keep my promise to you, Cloud worked through his thoughts aloud. But if we failed to destroy Sin, Spira would have lost all its aeons and any hope of continuing to bring the calm.
He stared at the ground, chewing his lip as he thought, and finally looked up at Bahamut again.
Can it be defeated?
Again, the Faith simply nodded.
Well, that was one weight off of Cloud's mind, at any rate. If it was impossible to destroy Sin without the power of the final summoning, then freeing the Faith would be condemning all of Spira to slow, agonizing suicide. Cloud wanted to keep his promise to the Faith, but not at that kind of cost.
Maybe the Albed were right, and living without an easy way to let others sacrifice themselves to bring the calm will force all the races to stop fighting and start working together to find a way to rid themselves of it. He said, hoping against hope that he was right and Sidon wouldn't just destroy everything. The buzzer sounded again as another goal was scored, and the crowd in the Blitzdome roared in reaction.
Cloud looked up at the beautiful structure, his heart squeezing.
Everything here will vanish, he realized. All these people, they won't even know what happened.
Their stories have continued for 1,000 years after their deaths, Bahamut said. All stories must come to an end in time.
Staring at the dome for another long moment, Cloud finally sighed and shook his head. All right, how do I get back to the others? He blinked and the dome was gone. All of Xanarkand was gone, he discovered, when he looked around. He'd been left in a weightless black void, and the only sound was the pounding of his own heart. No, not the only sound. Slowly he became aware of voices calling urgently in the distance.
Cloud, hey, kid, up and at him. You're freaking me out here.
It's not your turn to get to fall into a coma, damn it. Trust me, it's not as fun as it sounds.
You must wake, Cloud. Come back to us now.
The sensation of weightlessness faded. Unfortunately, as he became more aware of the reality of his own body, he also started to become aware of just how much his head hurt. He'd felt worse a few times, notably in Bavel when he'd summoned 2 aeons at once, but not much worse.
Ow, he muttered, and the voices around him exclaimed in response. Hey, he's back!
That was Zack's voice, and his guardian sounded relieved and jubilant.
Come on, lazy bones, we don't have all day for you to lie around basking in the sun. Up you get!
Prying his eyes open, Cloud winced when sunlight seemed to pierce straight into the depths of his brain like spears of fiery agony.
What happened?
You passed out, Sephiroth told him.
And nearly brained yourself on the carvings on the way down,
Zack added, sounding far too cheerful about the prospect.
Magic wasn't doing anything to bring you back, and we were afraid to try touching the carvings, too.
Probably just as well, Cloud acknowledged, groaning as he shoved himself slowly into a sitting position. Hands at his shoulders helped him, and by the time he was more or less upright, the worst of the pain from the headache had faded.
Were you able to speak to the Faith?
Aerith asked anxiously. Looking up into the eyes of his friends and guardians, Cloud debated with himself. Should he tell them the truth about just how big a risk he was thinking of taking? They would be taking it too. They had the right to know what they were doing. But what if they refused? He couldn't possibly do it by himself. They'd stayed with him this far, he finally decided. And as far as he knew, neither Sephiroth nor Zack had ever lied to him. He wasn't going to be the one to do it first. So he gave a quick explanation of what Bahamut had told him about the nature of Sin.
I think we should destroy the Faith here and end the dream of Xanarkand, he concluded. If we're lucky, that will cause Sin to fade away as well, its main purpose being gone. If we're not lucky, well, at least it will probably come after us in retaliation, so finding it to fight won't be hard.
We'd have to be certain to defeat it before destroying the last of the Faith, or we'll lose our aeons as well,
Aerith pointed out. Cloud grimaced. He hadn't even thought of that. But she was right. The faith of the temples would fade last, if he'd understood Bahamut correctly. But that still meant that if the fight dragged on for too long, they'd lose the ability to summon, and Sin would be able to limp off and heal. Assuming it could heal. Well, why not? It was just Pyreflies, after all. Like any Aeon. Damage was caused more by draining it to the point where it couldn't hold on to its integrity, and time to recover would allow it to literally pull itself back together. Trapped for 1,000 years? Forced to watch as the world falls apart over and over again? Tifa murmured, staring up at the carved wall with a haunted expression. Surely they never thought it would be so long when they agreed to it. No wonder they're tired. Rufus is gonna be royally pissed when he realizes there is no more final summoning for him to get if we fail. Zack snickered. Cloud thought the amusement was a little inappropriate, but he also couldn't help but find the thought funny as well. Are we doing this then? Cloud asked, looking them each in the eyes in turn. Are you with me? One by one they nodded, some with more enthusiasm than others. Sephiroth was the last, and the older man stared back at Cloud for a long moment, pensive. I cannot help but fear we will be leaving Spira defenseless, Sephiroth said. Lady Unalaska and Lord Zaun had to sacrifice themselves to create a way to stop Sin, even for brief periods of time. And they were far more powerful and knowledgeable than anyone alive now. And yet, knowing what I do now about how it all came to be, it seems wrong to allow the cycle to continue forever. He said nothing further for a long moment, and Cloud tried not to let his nervousness show. Seph? He finally prompted, still not looking away. At last, Sephiroth nodded. All things must come to an end eventually, he said, in an unknowing echo of Bahamut's words that made Cloud shiver in reaction. Should the Faith grow weary enough, perhaps they would stop allowing us to borrow their power at all, and then we would be in far worse straits. Well, that's a cheerful thought, Zack said, and snorted. Trust you to be the one to look on the bright side, Seph. All right, Cloud said, and pushed himself to his feet. He did his best to seem confident, hoping it wasn't obvious to the rest of them how terrified he actually was. If this failed or went wrong, then it would be his fault that Spira would have to live with Sin on a rampage, for Faith only knew how long. Compared to that, what he'd accomplished so far in the way of fucking up the world seemed like nothing. Tifa and Zack, you won't be able to hurt Sin at all, so you concentrate on taking out the Faith statues, he ordered. Don't touch them with your bare skin, or you might get sucked into the dreams, Anakin, like I was. Aerith, Sephiroth, it will be our job to keep Sin off them when it appears, and do our best to destroy it. Everyone nodded, and Cloud turned towards Zanakind. If Sin came, it would probably be from that direction. Let's do this, he said, and prayed he wasn't making the biggest mistake of his life. Of anyone's life.